This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Sam, you printed off this the travel advisory for Americans, and I don't see North Korea on this list, strangely enough.
Yeah, that was one of the top stories on CBS News today, and I'm not sure why. It was above the fold, per se.
Well, I think it's probably because of what happened in the Dominican Republic with, or what didn't, what we...
Well, we don't know what happened.
Let's be honest, we don't know. But would anybody care to guess some of the countries? Now, again, North Korea is not on the list, maybe because it only goes level 1 through level 4, and North Korea would be level 5.
And do not
enter. It's an assumption that they're, yeah.
I don't see Afghanistan on this list either. This list is incomplete. I wouldn't go to Afghanistan.
I think it's including countries that you might want to travel to.
Oh, okay.
Not ones
like,
that,
like Syria, which is a level 4.
Well, that I don't think that falls under might want to travel to.
Turks and Caicos is listed as a level 2. I have been to Turks.
Scott,
it is lovely.
Scott, I'm
high
telling you,
recently.
There has been a lot of crime there. There's been a lot of crime in the news there. I have read about sex assaults. I'm telling you, I will do Europe. I don't know that I'm ever going Dominican or Turks or Mexico. I've told you I'm done with that phase of my life.
I'll be in Mexico next month. I can't wait. South Sudan is a level 4. Do not travel.
Okay.
Had no intention. Samoa, which is right next to American Samoa in the Pacific, is a level 1. Just be careful.
That I just pulled up about Turks and Caicos mentions the number of people who went there, accidentally had something in their bag, and were convicted
like
to 10 years in prison because of it.
Ammunition.
It does not specify any other reason other than you're dumb, you brought bullets, and now the U.S. is going to have to come get you.
So you have never been to Europe, Dana Wright.
Nope, cannot wait. It's
and
on
you
my
have
list.
Said that maybe 2025 is the year. Where would you go?
We have shifted to 2027.
Okay.
We are going to watch the Ryder Cup when it is over there. And I believe
and that is in Scotland?
That will be in... I want to do all of them. I want to do like a Scotland, Ireland, Italy. Aren't they all kind of right there?
So you're
doing all of them.
2 months off?
You could do, you cannot do, I mean, you could, but this is going to be a 2 to 3 week vacation if you put Italy in that.
If you go to a golf match, then yeah, that's going to take up most of your time.
It
you're going to miss most of Europe.
Limerick, and I thought Limerick was a book. It is in Limerick, Ireland. Yeah. There once was a man from Nantucket.
And it's in County what? Is it in County Cork?
I don't know.
A limerick is a five-line poem.
We're aware.
With a specific rhyme scheme. A-A-B-B-A.
See, I thought it was A-A or A-B-A-B-C.
And it's an actual place.
My dad had a book of limericks when I was little, and I was not allowed to read it.
Because they were dirty.
Some of them were naughty. Okay. Very naughty. Yeah, I want to do all of those over there.
Well, you can't do, you can't put Italy in there if you're going to go to Ireland.
Probably Ireland will just be Ireland.
And Limerick is in Munster.
Yeah, Munster.
It's in County Munster.
Fun fact, also a cheese.
Which, by the way, in Ireland, they put the word county in front, not in the back.
I love it.
So you live in Johnson County. Over there, you would live in County Johnson.
Have you been? Really?
Read the orders.
Read them and understand them.
Read them and understand
them. Have you been Kojo. To Ireland?
I have never been to Ireland. And keep in mind, in a dream, I used to live over there, but it was only in a dream. And you couldn't go to Eastern Europe. Well, you could, but if your dad was in the army, be very careful. So the only place I ever went in a dream was to East Germany. I never got to go to Czechoslovakia or Poland or any of those places. But so I think in my 3 years there in a dream, I think I went to 16 different countries. Ireland, sadly, was not one of them. Neither was Portugal. And I always wanted to go there, too.
You do know that nobody ever said that you can't mention that you lived in Germany.
She did. Watch the interview we did with Frank Bull.
You said that, Dana?
I didn't specifically say that.
That is a lie.
It was inferred.
No, it was not inferred. It was implied.
Okay.
She says, and accurately so, at one point we go to break, and she says, enough. Enough is enough about talking about Germany. I don't want to hear that ever again.
It was only 3 years of your life, and I do feel like a solid 74% of your stories start with when I was in Germany.
And I'll explain that right now. Tell everybody your oldest daughter is currently enjoying a wonderful trip overseas in the country of Jordan.
My daughter is in Jordan.
And what has she told you about her less than 1 week there?
It has been the most transformative, amazing, life-changing experience of her entire life.
That is what I would say about the 3 years that I spent over there. It literally changed my life.
I spent 2 weeks in Bulgaria, and it was awesome.
Did you love it, Sam?
Oh, yeah.
She is, we're going to do this on the air, and you don't even know this yet, Scott, because I was DMing with them today. She is with a young man who is from the Kansas City area who takes groups of young people all over the world. He is a world traveler. I believe he is 24 years old. He's around Jack's age. And when they get back, he has another two trips back to back. I think one of them is Afghanistan.
Ooh.
And then he will come back. And I said, will you come on our program and talk about like how you had the idea to do this? Why are you doing this? And he is so excited to come on the show. I just found that out this afternoon before I came into work.
Happy to talk to him.
Dana, I do think young people, it is life-changing for young people to see the world.
Travel is one of the most important things you could do for yourself to leave these shores and go explore and see real people and how they live and history and geography and all that. But I would recommend, if you're going to go to the Ryder Cup, have a couple of different trips.
Yes.
So you can focus on the golf and everything around that geographically, and then take a trip to Europe.
And see the rest of it.
And actually see
Be on the continent where you can take trains and
to go France and Italy.
I don't think that we can't do all of it, Dan. Here's why. The Ryder Cup, we would go for 1 day. Those tickets are so expensive and so hard to come by. It would be a 1 day thing.
Okay.
How long are we going to be there?
Well, how long do you think you have to go to someplace like that? Bridge a weekend and 10 days. That's what I'm saying. I would do like Saturday, Sunday, Saturday, Sunday.
Honestly, and I am not going to give you any advice because I don't want to.
Wow. At least he's honest.
But, you know, for her graduation gift from her mom, wanted to do Spain, France, Holland, and England.
That's a lot.
And they were going for 9 days. I said, babe, you've got to cut two of those out.
Yeah.
Cut two out. The problem with going to Europe is, while it is much smaller than the United States, Western Europe at least.
The countries are.
Yeah. Everybody thinks they can hit it all in 1 week. You cannot hit it all in 1 week.
Like Europe is one place.
Like if I were to do Rome again, and I've done Rome three times, you need no fewer than 4 days in Rome.
Just to go to Rome.
Just Rome alone is a four-day trip.
You've got travel, then adjustment, then your first destination, And then, I mean, we're already at 3.5
you've
days.
You've got to factor in travel days.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, for example.
And you want to enjoy it while you're there and you don't feel like you're rushing from point A to point B like a crazy person.
So, if you were, let's say you said, I want to do Paris and Rome.
Yeah.
Right? I want to see Paris and I want to see Rome. Whatever you do, go ahead and completely knock out an entire day, because that's what the train is going to be from Paris to Rome. It's an entire day.
One of the reels I saw this morning, you know how much I love Nate Bargatze and his comedy. He makes this joke. He goes, so we went to Europe. It's old. That place has been around a lot long. Like, you leave here, and he goes, you go over there, and it's, wow. Like, it's old.
Mm-hmm. But that would be like somebody from the UK saying, I'm going to go to the US, and I'm going to hit all 50 states in 1 week.
Right.
Okay, yeah, right, you are.
Where you would say, okay, like, go to California, or go to New York, or go to, you know, pick another one, Florida or something. It's sort of similar, right?
You got to be very targeted with what you want to see. If you want to touch France and touch Italy, okay, that can be done. But you're only going to have 3 hours to do that before
you have to leave. I'll
tell you this.
I would not do it without a travel agent for the first
absolutely
100%
not.
Someone. Because I had a friend go over there because her daughter plays volleyball over there, a very good friend of mine. And she was able to plan that entire trip on her own. And I looked at her and I said, I don't know how you did it. I'm proud of you.
I'll give you my travel agent. Yeah. She's the best in
you
the business.
You know me. I need to just be told, this is where you show up and this is what you're going to do. Is that it? Oh my gosh, let me hear
it. Go ahead.
This entire conversation has sounded very Western Shawnee.
Very old. You think we're...
Hang on, I'm going to challenge you on that. It's not people who live in Western Shawnee who go to Europe. People in Liberty go to Europe. People in Lee's Summit go to Europe. People in Kansas City, Missouri go to Europe.
Everyone but Dana goes to Europe.
You went to Europe.
Mommy, today I want to drive the blue Lamborghini.
We're old, and you get there and you're like, good night. What have y'all been doing over here? You just walk around, they're like, that building is from 8. You're like, good golly. If you go to Europe, just so you know, it's the most old. It's very old.
So it's been a while since you've heard the name of this band, but one of the band members is in the news for an interest. What do you call this, Scott? It's certainly interesting. When I saw it, I went, what?
Well, it's interesting because she's homeless.
Is she? Do you call it that? Or is
when
this...
you're living in a car, you don't have a home.
I'm trying to sugarcoat this because, you know, people are going to have questions. If you made all these records, how does this happen? But the band was in Vogue.
I believe the new term is houseless.
Isn't that, well, you're never going to get it.
That
not
is?
This time. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to get it.
That's
my
one.
Loving. Okay, in Vogue.
Let me see what their other hits were.
In Vogue alum Dawn Robinson says she has been living in her car for the past 3 years. Quoting here, it is real and it is okay. Dawn Robinson says she is freeing her mind. That's one of the songs.
Free your mind and the rest will follow.
She is colorblind.
Don't be so shallow.
Wait, I just saw them in concert 2 years ago. She was homeless and she
was on the mixtape tour, wasn't she? Yeah.
The In Vogue alum, who founded the iconic girl group alongside Terry Ellis, Cindy Herron, and Maxine Jones in the late 80s.
So is this Dawn Robinson?
Yep. Shared a rare update about her life, revealing she has been living in her car for the past 3 years. Let's hear some of her, Sam. I don't want to read it and then have her say it.
This is not like, oh my God, poor Dawn. She's living in her car and it's terrible.
Former En Vogue member Dawn Robinson reveals she's been living in her car for 3 years. The 58-year-old singer, who was part of the mega-successful girl group back in the 90s, shares an update about her living situation in a video posted on her YouTube account March 11th.
Whew! It has been a minute. Oh my gosh, life was lifing and I had to deal with it like we all do. I'm glad to be back. Part of being human is to be vulnerable. I'm human first. I don't care about celebrity. I don't care about being a woman. Guys, for the past almost three years, I have been living in my car. Ah! I said it. Oh my God, it's out. I've been living in my car. Oh my gosh.
Dawn created the social media account in 2022 and regularly uploaded videos on the platform, but after posting in September 2024, she disappeared from the site. In her March 11th comeback, Dawn gives a bit of backstory on her life over the past few years, saying that in 2020, she was living with her parents in Las Vegas before clashing with her mom. She then resided in a hotel before being inspired by van life influencers on social media.
I loved what I was seeing. I just thought, wow, these people, I can do that. I can do this, I think.
So she says in the beginning she was afraid, and then she got better at it, and now she's got this. This is her life.
It sounds like it's what she wants to do, actually.
I was going to say, this does not qualify as living in your car because I'm down on my luck.
Well,
she is choosing to live in her vehicle.
But Sam, I think there are shades of, in L.A., she cannot afford a house. She went from her mom's house, where that arrangement didn't work, in Las Vegas, to her manager's house in L.A., where that arrangement didn't work because it was too small, to a hotel, to her car.
Because the car is not too small?
And I think, you know, when you look at certainly like the housing prices in California, I do believe she, because of her job or whatever, needs to be probably closer to L.A., can't afford it, so she's living in her car.
Well, but there are plenty of musicians that don't live in Los Angeles.
If the guy who works at McDonald's 6 days a week can afford an apartment down the street, so can she.
I don't know, Sam. And for anyone thinking, well, she's famous, she was a star, she was in this band, they make nothing off of those album sales.
Well, now wait a minute.
Scott.
They don't today. That's why bands tour so much and charge so much for a ticket. But back in the 80s and early 90s, which is when En Vogue came to form, record sales, you get a huge chunk, especially if you write the songs. And if you write the songs, every time your song is played on the radio, you made a ton of money.
We don't know that she wrote her songs.
Well, I'm going to look that up right now.
She is 58 years old. You know, that mixtape tour, I'm glad you brought that up, because there were five or six different huge 80s stars
on
that stage. It was the greatest show I've been to in a long time. I went to the one 3 years ago.
Now, let me tell you, En Vogue was a four-girl band in the 90s. She is not in the current lineup. She was not on that tour.
So do the math, Scott. When you went to go see that mixtape show, if you all went with me at the Sprint Center the last time they were there, tickets, I want to say, and we had really good seats, were like $65.
Yep.
So even if that entire arena is sold out, tickets are not hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And then they are splitting that between five or six bands, with each band having four to six members. She wasn't even in the lineup at the last mixtape.
And she didn't write a single song.
She's out of money. I 100% believe that happens in L.A.
But she said verbatim, "I was inspired by van life." To me, that does not read, "I had no other choice."
I think you are sugarcoating. When you say, "I was inspired to live out of my car," you're sugarcoating rationalizing the reality that you are out of money and you don't have any other options.
She never wrote a single song.
Which means she has no money, right?
Well, it would mean that whatever money she has was made off of album sales and tours when she was still in the band.
20 years ago.
But she has not been in the band for a long time. Well, sometimes you have to go get another job.
I applaud her honesty, because in that celebrity world, even though, you know, most people probably wouldn't know, like, she's not like Brad Pitt. You're not going to go, oh my gosh, and stop and say, is that who I think it is?
Right.
But you're still around that culture and in that lifestyle if you're living in L.A., I applaud her bravery for coming out and saying, yeah, I'm living in my car.
Telephone number is 913-586-7798, 586-7798. Sam Stevie III, Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry's starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
All right, so one of the four original members of En Vogue, she's no longer in the group. There's only three of them left. She's still alive, but for whatever reason is not in the band anymore, the group. She is now living out of her car. It sounds more like she's living out of a van, though. Based on the interview, she was really inspired by the show Van Life.
Yeah, and there's a major difference between living out of your van, which is basically a small mobile home, and living out of your Toyota Corolla with, you know, a backpack with two changes of clothes, and you're going to pay $7 at the gym so that you can shower once a week. Like, that, there's a major difference between these two things. And van life is not cheap. It is not something you do because you're downtrodden and have nowhere else to go.
Don't you remember the kid that called? I shouldn't say kid. He was a younger guy who called into this program after the Frances McDormand movie. Was that Nomad? What was the name of that movie?
It won
an Oscar. This guy called into our show, and he had just started the Nomad van life. Mm-hmm. And I want to say he was like a month into it. And one of the things he said was, it is not as inexpensive as you would think it would be.
I have a couple of friends who are probably 75% of the way done with their van. They want to drive the Pan American Highway from Alaska all the way to the tip of Chile.
That is a really bad decision.
They have been working on their van for 2 years and working like 60 hours a week, saving money because they know how much it's going to cost.
And so what are they going to do as they drive by the cartels in northern Mexico? Speed?
Put your head down.
What are they going to do when they go through Colombia?
10-2, baby. 10-2.
I mean, this is a really, really bad decision.
No, it's just not your decision. It wouldn't be my decision, but I who are we to say that's someone else's bad decision?
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get a van and drive through Syria, Iraq, Iran, and Afghanistan. I think that would be fun.
How fast does things go?
We're about to find out. Ashley in Parkville. Ashley, hello.
Hello. The way that she sounded about it in the interview, she didn't sound like she was downtrodden or disgruntled about it at all. I think that maybe it started as a necessity, but maybe now it's a way of life. And you don't have to pay $7 to go to the gym for a shower. You fuel up at the truck stop and get loyalty points, and then you can earn showers that way.
If I didn't fuel up at the pump, what would a shower at a truck stop cost me?
I think they're $4.50.
Wow.
And they've got washing machines there, too. So, you know, you can be ready to roll with it. My mom has often talked about going on the road and living that kind of life, and she would love it. I think that she would be great at it. She's very self-sufficient, independent kind of woman. So it would not surprise me one of these days if she went and bought a van and said, hey, I'm out of here. Get my mail.
Well, you know why it's so expensive to live the van life? You don't have a job.
Not necessarily.
What are you going to do?
A lot of them work for Amazon, Scott. That's what the guy that called in said that, didn't he, Sam?
When I was in Southern California for work every single summer, I met a number of people who lived in the parking lots on the beach. They had jobs. They would shower out of the back of their van. Their van, you know, had a water tank in it with a shower head coming off the back door. They would shower right there in the parking lot and go to work.
Huh. Do you have to pay for your spot?
It was...
In some places you do. The nomad who called into the program said it took him a while to figure out where can I go where it is inexpensive or free.
Walmart parking lot.
Yes. And then, but some of the Walmarts were cracking down on that. Remember the what do you call those things, Sam? The big old, I don't know, it was like
Semis?
No, that big thing that says, you are not allowed to install here.
The lot bot. Like,
the lot bot, yeah. Yes. It'll start barking at you if you're there too long.
These folks that I were meeting were living on the state park parking lots next to beaches.
913-586-7798. Kurt in Lenexa. Hello, Kurt.
Yeah, good afternoon, guys. How are you?
We're doing well. Thank you, man.
First of all, to Dana's potato video the other day, that was hilarious.
Potato video.
You're welcome.
Number two, I do have a lady that also runs everything out of her van, and she has couple of solar panels on the top of her roof that she runs for power. She has like a refrigerator and she has like a camping stove in case she cooks something. And I've seen nowadays, if you're in an apartment or something like that, you can actually get these collapsible washing machines like from Temu. And, you know, if you're in an apartment or somewhere, a cramped space, and you need something washed, instead of chunking out quarters for something, you can get one of these and you can plug it into your wall outlet or into your car or something and wash your clothes that way.
Hmm. Okay.
I mean, and you, the only thing that you don't save on is gas. Everything. But as far as like power, I mean, I've seen vehicles that are completely converted and they have solar power to run a refrigerator or, you know, a small appliance or let alone a hairdryer. I mean, a lot of those 18-wheeler drivers, if they're over the road and they go long distances, I mean, they have a hairdryer, they've got a stove, a fridge, not necessarily a bathroom, but I mean, they've got satellite TV in their rig.
Well, don't you think a bathroom would be important?
Most definitely. The sanctity of a body is important to people. I mean, especially if you're taking a shower. That's important on a daily basis.
Yes, but there are multiple ways to get just basic hygiene needs met today that maybe we didn't have 40 or 30 or even 20 years ago.
What do you mean?
Well, the rest stops. You have truck stops. You have
park the van down by a river.
Yes,
running water.
Yeah.
That's how they did in 1883. Let's go to Angela in Kansas City. Angela, hello.
Hi, how are you all?
We're well, thank you.
I don't know if you all, I think you talked about this recently, that documentary about Gabby Petito.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they were trying to do van life, and the whole thing was she was trying to become a blogger and make money that way, have people, like, fund it that way. But the van life thing, I mean, I think it's popular with people who, you know, want to hike and be outside and, you know, kind of be one with nature.
Right. But Angela, they showed this in that documentary. It's really romantic on Instagram. What you don't
see in 20 second clips
is the, you know, struggle. How are we going to eat? Where are we going to go? How are we going to plan the next stop? What are we doing? And then throw in the fact he was a murderer. That takes things to an entirely different level.
And would literally emotionally abuse her.
I think young people look at the Instagram and they think, oh my gosh, that looks so romantic. We'll just take off in a van.
I want to know more about this in Vogue alum, because if she is living out of her Corolla, I feel sorry for her. If she's living out of the back of a decked out $140,000 van, I have no sympathy.
I don't either.
I don't know that she's asking for sympathy.
I don't think that she is either, but that
I think
seems
she was just like, this is my life, and I'm being honest, and I've been living out of my car for almost 3 years. There it is. But, I'm like almost like it was a relief for her to say it out loud.
But where did the interview come from? I mean, did somebody stumble upon her?
No, she put it out there.
She wanted to be relevant again.
She put it out there.
And say, hey, her, and I.
Or maybe she just wanted to be honest, Scott. Like, I'm tired. You hear her go, ah, there I said it. Like people have been telling her, like, I would keep that to yourself in Hollywood. I feel like she almost did it as, this is for me. I'm getting this out there. It's a relief just to say this is the life I'm living.
So the question becomes, is she broke or is she just choosing to live this lifestyle?
Yes.
Because as a member of En Vogue, in the early 1990s, she was making millions.
So was MC Hammer.
I don't dispute that. What I'm saying is, it is remarkable to me when people come into large chunks of money. MC Hammer, great example. In Vogue, which, by the way, had more hits than MC Hammer. And they're making millions and millions and millions of dollars. And then one day they wake up, and I'm not saying this is her story, I don't know. And then one day they wake up and they don't have a dime to their name, where if they had planned properly and not blown their money on their posse or their crew or buying more cars than they need or houses they don't need.
There's an entire show on Netflix about athletes who have done that.
Well, and there was a time, and I don't know if they do this anymore or not, where the NFL was bringing in financial consultants for rookies at the beginning of every season, and they would sit the rookies down and say, now listen, you just came into more money than you've ever seen in your life.
Than anyone in your family has maybe seen in
right.
their lives.
And people are going to come out of the woodwork,
yep.
and they're going to tell you, hey, man, can you spare $100,000? Can you spare $200,000? Whatever. The answer is always no.
It's more than that. They go through a series of classes on how to be famous, how to hold yourself in public.
Right.
They go through all of it.
And yet still, we hear stories about, you know, this one-time superstar has two Super Bowl rings, and now he's destitute living out of youth hostels in God knows where.
Speaking of music, you want to feel old?
Oh, God, no.
From People magazine today, 40 years ago.
I can give you a handful of records from 40 years ago today.
We Are the World,
mm-hmm.
featuring Michael Jackson, Lionel Richie, and dozens of others. The supergroup USA for Africa was released to the public 40 years ago today. They did raise an astonishing $80 million for famine relief and other humanitarian causes.
If you have not seen the documentary, the name of which escapes me at the moment, and the hoops that they had to jump through to get all of them in the same room, literally in the middle of the night, for what, 8 hours, I think it was?
It's called The Greatest Night in Pop.
That's right. It is a great documentary.
Oh, Lionel, listen to those podcasts.
And Lionel skipped. No, he didn't skip. He left the Grammys early to go to the studio because he and Quincy Jones had written the song. And nobody or a handful of people who showed up had heard the song in demo form before they ever recorded it. They had 8 hours and they didn't know who was going to show up and who wouldn't. And it's a brilliant song.
Pretending day by day.
Quick break. She's Dana Wright. That guy is Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott here on KMBZ. So for many college students, either this week or next week is spring break. From CBS News, spring break travel is expected to break records this year despite higher costs. And I was talking to a good friend of ours, sales lady downstairs, we both adore. And we were on the phone earlier today, I won't say names. And she is getting ready to take her senior daughter down to the Planet Hollywood Resort in Cancun, which is right next to Coco Bongos. And I said to her, may God be with you. She said, I heard your conversation with Dana and how she'll never go back to Cancun again.
Nope, never going back.
Former Fox News host Megyn Kelly is revisiting the cold case of Lisa Irwin, the baby who disappeared from her Kansas City crib in 2011.
You believe that?
14 years ago, and became nationally known as Baby Lisa. This week, Megyn Kelly, devotes 5 episodes of her SiriusXM podcast to the mystery. The 4th installment drops today. Baby Lisa was reported missing early in the morning on October 4th, 2011. Her mother, Deborah Bradley, told police that she last saw the 10-month-old infant when she put her in the crib at their home on Lister Avenue.
Yet she was drunk, and they had multiple cell phones in the home that no one knows where they... Yeah. Are we ever going to know what happened to that child?
No.
No. The answer is no. Let it go. We're not going to know.
We will never know.
Which means... Two people that between the two of them, let's be honest, did not look like they would be invited to a Mensa conference.
Wow.
Pulled the wool over multiple law enforcement agencies.
Including the FBI.
Local, state, and federal. Or someone else really did take the baby. There's only Follow me here. There's only two scenarios.
I hear you.
Someone took that baby. That's scenario number one.
That's what mom said.
Or two people that had trouble stringing sentences together pulled the wool over on everybody.
Yeah. I still to this day have never been able to figure out why two adults had, when dad was at work overnight, so he would have presumably had his own cell phone, why they had three cell phones in the kitchen, and whomever, let's say mom's telling the truth, whomever broke into that house and stole that baby was devious enough to go to the kitchen, run the risk of leaving more evidence behind, and stole three cell phones. They just happened to know where the cell phones were. Yep. Who charges their cell phones in the kitchen overnight? No one.
Multiple cell phones.
Everybody charges their cell phone on their nightstand. Am I wrong or am I right?
Sad update also from a horrifying case from all of our past. The death of the woman who was partially paralyzed in the Columbine High School shooting has been ruled a homicide. It raises the death toll to the 1999 attack to 14. An autopsy report obtained today says the 43-year-old Anne Marie Hochhalter died February 16th of sepsis. It was complications from her paralysis because of the shooting.
Okay, when you first said that, I thought it was a different homicide, and I was like, what?
That was ruled a significant contributing factor in her death. Family and friends say she struggled with intense pain from her gunshot wounds, but fought hard to overcome the complications of those injuries and remain positive. She was wheelchair-bound. You remember that, Scott?
I do.
She forgave the mother of one of the gunmen, telling Sue Klebold in 2016, bitterness is like swallowing a poison pill.
Expecting the other person to die.
She was known for being so positive after something unspeakable.
Yep. Well,
may God bless her soul. 43-year-old Anne Marie Hochhalter, that has been ruled, as it should, that has been ruled a homicide.
Astronauts Butch Wilmore and Suni Williams will have to wait a couple more days. The SpaceX that was supposed to go up last night did not, despite perfect weather. There was apparently something wrong with the little device. It's not little. At the very tip of the rocket, there was some sort of a ring or something.
The hydraulic arm.
Right, that holds the rocket in place. I know exactly what you're saying off the air.
Can we just go to break, please? I feel so sorry for those two people. It's time to go to break.
Quick break for the news with Dan Weinbaum. That comes your way in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks. You are evil.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.